Welcome to Beyond the Big Agencies, the podcast for SLPs, OTs, PTs, and related service providers who want to work with schools, but not for them. I'm Elise Mitchell, an SLP, a school contracting coach, and the owner of the Therapist Support Network, here to help you take control of your career, do what you love, and build a sustainable practice on your terms. Because school staffing should be left to the professionals. Let's dig in. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Elise, and today we are talking all about virtual therapy contracts with schools. I did want to give a quick discussion point. So I've had several people message me. First of all, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm an extrovert and I get lonely here with my cows. But I've gotten a question about, are you going to have guests? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. I'm going to have guests. I am waiting probably until after episode 10, where I feel like I'm in a little bit more of a groove with editing. And then I am excited to have guests. If you are a customer of mine listening, I will be sending out a questionnaire for anyone interested so they can put that they're interested. And I will be doing that here within a few weeks. So yes, guests will be coming on. Until then, you get a lot of me. Woohoo! All right. So I'm excited to talk about virtual therapy contracts. If you're a provider and you're thinking, I would like to contract with schools, but in a virtual capacity, there is a lot to navigate. So in today's episode, I'm going to break down my top 5 tips for successfully contracting virtual services to schools. These tips, the goal of these tips is to help you kind of overcome those unique challenges of the virtual space and set you up for success so you don't get discouraged too soon, right? Because virtual contracts, in my experience, tend to be a longer process. All right, so let's start with tip number 1. Understand the timing. New virtual contracts often come last. So there's a few things to unpack here. Stay with me for the whole thing. One thing to keep in mind when pursuing virtual contracts is timing. They tend to be, and I'm sorry, I am going to cringe too, they tend to be the last resort for many schools. I know I am a virtual provider advocate. I feel it too. But usually this is after schools have exhausted other options. First, they like to exhaust in-house employees. When that doesn't happen, they try to look for in-person contractors. And then finally, they'll consider virtual. So, and this is for new contracts. I'm going to explain what that means in a minute. This means you might face a longer sales cycle. So with contracts, I have seen them come in for virtual August. I've seen them. I've had them August, September, October, November. I have had them come in then as, and not as many, my renewals tend to come in, but not as many earlier on or not as many in May or June. So if you see people celebrating, I just had a contract signed, know that you are likely in a different sales cycle than they are. Patience is key. That does not mean, oh, if you're a virtual contractor, you shouldn't start reaching out until later. You definitely want to reach out now because you want your name to be at the top of their mind when they're having a hard time finding those in-person providers, right? You want them to say, oh, well, yeah, I did hear from Jessica and she sounded like she had a great business. Oh, maybe we should call her back. So I'm not saying don't sell when the rest of us are selling. Keep reaching out to schools. It's never a bad thing to reach out to schools. However, keep your expectations in check. If you do get that, you call and you do get that beautiful expression that virtual business owners have heard so many times, we are really hoping for in person. When you hear that, that's when you can reply, listen, I completely understand and respect that. When is a good time to follow up and see it, how many hours you have left, if you found someone in person, etc.? When's a good time to follow up? So go ahead and get that date that they would be open to hearing from you. Put it on a calendar and move along. Talk to other schools. The reason that I said new school contracts. So in my experience, my renewals tend to sign on with me quicker than those new contracts because they have appreciated the services that I provide and they would rather go ahead and know who they're going to work with instead of looking for those in-person contractors. Not always. There are some schools that still say, you know, we want to hold out for in-person, and that's fine. That is what it is. So the reason that I start with that, with understanding your timing, is because I do have people that said, well, I didn't have a contract by July, and so I just took a job with this large virtual staffing agency. And then what happens? They get a call in September saying, well, can you start tomorrow? And so that is something to keep in mind as you look at this. The virtual contracts tend to come in later. So that's something to be aware of. Don't get discouraged. And just keep consistently reaching out to schools if you are interested in virtual contracts. So tip two needs to be said. Virtual sales require persistence. They require a lot more persistence. In my experience in school sales, virtual sales, I hear no. I hear, you know, well, we aren't open to that. Our parents wouldn't fall for that. I hear so much more pushback with virtual sales than I do in-person sales. And just so you know, if you're listening, I'm going to give you a sparkly at the end of this that is like makes it a little bit more exciting to be someone who's interested in virtual, because it's not all harder. But stick with me. I'll get to that at the end. So my next tip is just know that virtual sales, you have to have a larger reach because it's harder to find that ideal client. It's harder to find a school that is open to virtual. And so because of that, it's a good thing that proximity isn't a barrier and you have a larger reach because you're going to need it, right? You got to cast a lot more worms out there to find your fish. And so just be aware you'll hear no more often and try to keep yourself, you know, at baseline when it comes to what that does to us emotionally. And you may be someone that you're like, I don't care if they tell me no. I could be told no all day. That doesn't discourage me. I am not that person. I do have a limit on how much I can be told no or how much I can be told, you know, that people want in person. And so for me, I limited my outreach every day to 5 calls a day or 3 calls a day or 10 calls a day. It just matters that you are consistent with it. And so again, like put your block on the calendar and do your set amount of calls and then move on for the day. And if you hear 5 no's or 4 no answers and 1 no, just know that that's kind of par for the course with virtual school sales. And the ideal client is out there, right? So just keep that consistent outreach, set that goal, and that's that. So tip number 3 for those of you who are looking for virtual contracts, know your worth, don't undervalue virtual therapy. This is a pain point. The pricing pain point is larger with my virtual customers than those my customers that do in-person contracting. And the reason with that is there tends to be a messaging specific with schools that virtual therapy should be more affordable than in-person therapy. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole because I've got a lot of opinions on it. But I like to give the tip, really know your worth and don't undervalue your therapy, especially as a virtual provider. When you look at virtual assessments, the cost of virtual assessments, the cost of a platform, the cost to do services, you can really shoot yourself in the foot if you undervalue yourself. You can make it to where by the time you pay taxes, by the time you pay your expenses, you're making less than an in-person school employee with benefits. So it's important to know your bottom line. And because these contracts tend to come in later, and because you've heard no a little bit more than our in-person contractors, you are more at risk of saying, sure, whatever you want to pay me. Ask me how I know. My very first contract, I significantly undervalued myself because I was in the sure, whatever place. So know your worth, know your rate, and don't feel pressured to lower your rate. Educate schools on the costs involved. Educate them on the quality of provider they're getting. And don't be afraid to push back when negotiations don't reflect the value you bring. really just know your dollar. I believe episode 3, I discussed setting your rate. Look at that, calculate it. If you have my packet, I've got information on there, and ensure that you know kind of the bottom line to make this worth it. And know that before you talk to decision makers, because there is that misconception at times that virtual services should be significantly more affordable. So, my tip 3 is know your worth and know your number. Okay, tip 4, tailor your contract for virtual services. If you are someone that has my school contractor packet, you know that I have a separate template in there for virtual services for people to look at as a sample contract and take and modify with their legal team. And the reason for that is because there are a few terms that virtual therapy requires. So, obviously, this is a product that I help advocate on, that I help provide. Every now and then, you get a school that says, well, we want you to sign our contract. And they'll send you a generic contract that doesn't have specific things for virtual services in it. And with that, I like to say, great, I have a few attachment policies that I would like attached to this contract. Who do you want me to email those to? Because think about technology requirements. Think about consent to treat for virtual. Think about clear billing practices. Think about how many times no-shows are an issue with virtual. Think about those things. That's why you have to be contractually protected as a virtual provider. If it is for in-person, it's not the same contractually. It's not remarkably different, but there are some very specific things to virtual. So, if you have my school contractor packet, you have that virtual sample in there to look through. If you don't, I'll put a link in here for you to look at because this is just such an important topic. So, my tip 4, make sure you are contractually set up if you are providing virtual services because it is contractually different than in person. Tip number 5. So, one thing that I hear from providers with that entrepreneurial fire, and it excites me because those are the people that I want to sit at a table with, right? It makes me so happy to be a part of this space. But it's also something that I caution against, and that is if I'm virtual, I can target every state, right? And that's that mentality that, like, you are going to target every state. And it's not that you can't. I mean, some states you can't. But, while the idea, especially those of you starting out, while the idea of providing virtual services across the country is super appealing, I highly recommend starting small. Each state has different regulations from licensing, which we know well, right? That tends to be the area that we're like, well, we know we have to get licensed in that state. And so that's why I think the Interstate Compact is sparking people thinking, I can just go ham and I can serve the United States of America. And I mean, in theory, you can in most states, but on top of that license, some of our states require ed certs that are quite time consuming. And so, like, I'm thinking of Illinois, they have the PEL. That's a time consuming process, right? And so, if you target Illinois, even though you are in Maryland and you make these promises to schools and then you realize you need that PEL and you realize how long it takes, you can get yourself in a bind. So, on top of licensing in that state or certifications in that state, you also have business registration. And some of these states, it's a simple thing. And other states, like your California and your New York, there tends to be a longer process. And so it is best to start small. That doesn't mean you have to do one state. You can do 3 states, but really know those states well. Another thing, SPED guidelines vary depending on state. And so if you're targeting every state, you have to know SPED regulations in every state. That's a lot. So I highly recommend just focus on a couple of states initially, learn the rules, and then expand. So I like doing, add 1 to 2 states a year so you have steady and manageable growth. But when you first start out, really hone in on the states. That doesn't mean I want every virtual contractor only tapping into one state. Not at all what I'm saying, especially if you're in Florida where there's RFPs and that can be really difficult for someone starting out. Absolutely, Target your Georgia or your Carolinas, target those other states. That's totally fine. But make sure you have some sort of structure or organized approach. So, just like we talked about our tip number two, we're going to do a series of calls a day, right? With tip number five, we're going to do a series of calls to specific states. And so, I highly recommend when starting out with virtual, really honing in to certain states. Okay, I promised you I was going to give you a sparkly, and I do not break a promise. So let's talk about a sparkly, right? So I think the writing is on the wall that often virtual sales, especially if you're selling virtual services to brick and mortar schools, can be more difficult. They can require a bit more persuasion than our in-person staffing. However, here's a sparkly, and here's a bonus. Recruiting virtual providers is often so much easier than recruiting in-person staff. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I don't even want to do virtual if it's going to be really difficult. If you love virtual services, please do not let that hold you back. Because if you want to hire one day, it's funny, I have my skill program and my virtual businesses in there often need support with their sales funnel. And my in-person businesses in the skill program, they often need support with their recruitment funnel. And that's just the way it works. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh man, I love virtual. I love the idea of building a virtual business, but you think it's impossible, your hard part is typically upfront. It's typically sales. At this point in time, at this recording, recruiting for virtual providers is much simpler and more affordable. So there's many therapists who are eager to work from home. And so this can help you build your team faster, especially if you're planning to expand your virtual services in the future. So we're going to end on a shiny. Virtual school contracts can be a fantastic opportunity. It does require persistence and patience and strategic planning. So whether you're new to the virtual space or you're looking to scale your practice by adding on another state virtually, take these tips and run with them and let me know what you think. You can message me on Instagram at the Therapist Support Network. And thank you so much today for tuning in. If you found it helpful, don't forget to subscribe, share, leave a review. And I'm excited to hear what you do with this. That's a wrap on this episode of Beyond the Big Agencies. Remember, success isn't just met for the big staffing agencies. It's meant for providers like you who show up, take action, and build something meaningful. So go get them. And if you're ready for more support strategies and a community that gets it, join us inside the Therapist Support Network. You don't have to do this alone. Head to www.thetherapistsupportnetwork.com to connect, learn, and grow with other SLPs, OTs, PTs, and related service providers building their own path. Until next time, keep pushing forward.